The Guardian. Football Weekly with James Richardson.
Today, podcasting exclusively from someone's pub in Liverpool, it's Football Weekly. Hope you like our new direction. Coming up, thwack, it's the goodest and the bad and the ugly in the Sisters of Mersey clash at Everton. We ask, John W. Henry, did he keep his receipt? Man United, Van der Sar buggers it up versus the Baggies. Rooney still on the wane. One win now in five. And kapow, Blackpool City. There's a silver nugget, but unlike Stevie G, City struggle to beat DJ and his colleagues. Elsewhere, the Champions League is back. Spurs face Inter, Real Madrid have Milan, and the Gunners face Shakhtar Donetsk. Wow, that's just what Eduardo needs. A match against notoriously tough-tackling Arsenal. There's post live... live contributions from the floor with all the wit and wisdom you'd expect from an assorted group of pub customers. All of that and more in today's Football Weekly. Yes, listeners, here we are in Liverpool bringing some much-needed coverage to a city that's been sadly overlooked in recent weeks. Call it a Mersey mission, if you will. We're in the Fly in the Loaf pub, and frankly, we're going to rock it till the wheels come off, although given that we're in Liverpool, that may not take too long. On the panel tonight, we have Barry Glendenning.
Hello.
Andy Hunter. And Greg Ruffley. Excellent. There you go. Right, Greg Ruffley.
Hello, James.
Yes. Item one. Liverpool.
Yes.
Yes.
What can be said, James?
Well, what can be said? It was an extraordinary performance.
It was an extraordinarily bad performance, which Roy Hodgson called the best under his reign.
Well, actually, Andy, you've just returned from the post-game press conference.
I have, yes.
Goodison Park. Can you regale us with one or two nuggets from Roy?
I was going to show off my shorthand skills.
Yeah.
I'll just read you some of the quotes from Roy Hodgson after the game there. As good as I've seen us play this season. We didn't really accept that. So he retorted with, I refuse to accept that we were in any way inferior or outplayed. Moyes, on the other hand, I was just... because there was another team playing today. He said, I think this was quite a revealing quote, we conceded possession to Liverpool after their second goal, but I was quite happy to do so because they have not been scoring freely.
Absolutely fair enough, because they did completely hand the game over to Liverpool and Liverpool could do absolutely nothing with it, Greg. Very, very worrying. Didn't look like the players had much time for Hodgson or much interest in salvaging this result.
No, I was completely flabbergasted after the week they've just had. I'd have thought they'd have come out today and actually shown some energy, a bit of passion or something, and at least under new ownership maybe think, well, you know, things could look better in the future. And it just seems that Hodgson hasn't got the team. He hasn't got the dressing room. I can't actually pick out one performer for Liverpool today. There wasn't one player I say, you know, did well. I mean, Reina, fair enough, but that would be about it.
Hmm. Was it something to do with the restraining order that they hadn't heard? I don't know. Andy, a question. At the start of the game, when you know the Everton faithful started singing, there was tremendous atmosphere there, and John W. Henry just settled into his seat, and he could hear the roars, and he was, you know, putting his fingers to his ears like, "My, this soccer crowd, etc." Just made me think. Doesn't he reconsider, maybe, did I buy the wrong club? I don't mean that jokingly. Everton have been on the market for ages, and you have all these people who say that they're in for Liverpool, have battles in court over Liverpool. Why does nobody come in for Everton?
Because they don't have the global appeal and they don't have a stadium, I would say, would be the two main reasons putting people off. And for all the talk of people lining up to speak to Bill Kenwright, or so he claims, no one has come in with an offer, so that I think that's where the huge advantage Liverpool have is obvious on that.
Barry, who'll go first, Fernando Torres or Roy Hodgson?
Well, I've said at the start of the season that Fernando Torres would go at Christmas, and I still think he will. I think he would have gone during the summer, except he was knacked. you obviously were at the game today. I heard you on the phone on the train on the way up onto your Premier League contacts going, no, he's all right, he can watch in the pub. No, seriously, he doesn't want a ticket. Give it to someone. So I've been drinking German wheat beer for the last 5 hours. And no longer have any opinions on anything, really. I was shocked by how abject Liverpool were. The team had been teed up, right, you know, all that stuff happened last week, now give us a big performance. And it was like they were pulling caravans or boulders or something. They were slow, last to every ball, but we should give a huge amount of credit to Everton. They were very good. They wanted it more. They were unified. They were cohesive. They had a plan. They worked the plan. It worked. And they were everything Liverpool weren't. And hats off to them for a good performance today.
That plan though was just thinking faster and running faster than Liverpool. That's what it seemed to me anyway.
And having better players.
Arteta.
Better first team than Liverpool have at the minute, I would say.
Hey,
what shocked me though is on Friday, Hodgson says one of the main problems he's faced so far is Liverpool fall behind in games and then have to go chasing it and counter-attack, which is very unfair. But so what was his plan to change that by going out to win the game today? Because he didn't seem to have one until Everton were 2-0 up.
Did he have the look of a man? Because I was watching him on the sideline, nervously twitching and scratching his face and pulling his pockets.
Unfortunately, that's all he tends to do at the moment.
Yeah.
On, you know, Liverpool 2-0 down in the derby, haven't done a tap, and neither is he. He's just stood there stroking his chin.
We've been accused on the Guardian Sport blog of the London-based media were, you know, basically had their tongue up Hodgson's ass for a while. And I think it's probably a fair accusation.
Is that why you're playing your words?
Are they turning on him now? And
the London?
Well, not necessarily, but just, Hodgson's great, he's brilliant, because he got Fulham to the UEFA Cup final. But has he been found out, or is he unlucky? Did he take the wrong job at the wrong time, or what?
It's always going to be a difficult job, whoever succeeded Benitez this summer. The problem's there. You know, you imagine hopefully they will be, you know, a more even keel now, and slowly but surely they will get back. But that's, you know, that's a long way off. And I personally was amazed that he was appointed Liverpool manager in the summer.
It was very underwhelming for a lot of Liverpool fans when he was appointed. But don't you think that he must have known that the ownership was going to change within a few months' time? So therefore, in the short time that he had, he was maybe going to try and make a big impact. And he just came in. He was almost more negative than Benitez was at times last season.
I think he is.
So I mean, which is just, it's staggering that he thinks that is the way to keep his job at Liverpool, which he's got because of circumstances rather than, you know, on merit. And he had a decent season at Fulham last season, but he's not the ideal man for the job at Liverpool, as far as I can
see. He's travelled extensively, but he hasn't won extensively, has he?
Mm. And but we're here in Liverpool. I'm just wondering what the crowd think. Are you predominantly Raffisters or Hodgsonites? Is it Raffisters, is it? Yeah. Any Hodgsonites here?
Yeah, me.
Yeah? That man with the paper bag on his head at the back. No, interesting. So, still very much Rafa, a popular figure. Yeah. Right. Okay. Listeners, at this point, all sorts of hullabaloo broke out in the crowd. Anyway, let's move on then to Man United. Greg, first off, Roberto Di Matteo must be a shoo-in for some really top job pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, he could get the Birmingham job possibly, or, you know, maybe...
No, I'm serious. I mean, the guy's done an astonishing job there at West Brom.
Yeah, he's done a very good job, but he's still only 4 or 5 games into, well, actually 6 or 7 into this season.
He's beaten Man City.
Yeah, he's beaten Man City.
Drawn with United at Old Trafford.
Beaten Arsenal.
At Emirates.
Yeah, no, he's doing a very good job, but, I mean, there's still time for him yet, and I do think... he must give some half-time team talk, because very often West Brom have been down at half-time and they've come back in the second half. And yesterday, he did it without Peter Odemwingie, and he has been their key man this season. But I do think Man United have got a lot of problems, and it's not just about West Brom being very good. I think Manchester United are going to have to rebuild now in the future. And they've got all what Liverpool have just gone through to come in the future on a grand scale. So I mean,
Why are you smiling like that when you say that?
United. No idea.
United, is it just a blip? Is it just this freak goal that Van der Sar conceded, which really was a freak goal from a keeper like him? Or is there something more serious underlying this one win in five record, Andy?
Well, they're dropping points they would never have previously dropped even over the last few seasons, and with every draw or every, you know, daft points they're giving away from home, you know, raise the question, are they on the turn now as well, and is Wayne Rooney, you know, trying to run out his contract so he could go back to Everton on the cheap?
Well, apparently the talk in the press box at Goodison today was all about how Sir Alex is has benched him because he wants to sell him off as soon as possible. I don't know if they're going to get the kind of money that they would have a year ago for Wayne. Do you think they would?
I think they would, yeah, still. Yeah. But I don't see him playing abroad at all. I couldn't see him in Spain. I think he'd be, personally...
suggesting he's not a sophisticated cosmopolitan who would fit in Madrid? Or
no, I don't think that's what it's all about. I just think he doesn't want to go. He still spends most of his time coming back to, well, he used to, the in-laws in Croxton. So
is he still welcome at the in-laws? If I was in his shoes, I don't think I'd be going anywhere near the in-laws.
I think this was before they found out that he'd spent £200 on a packet of fags.
Wow. All right. West Brom, sorry.
No, I just think Rooney might be the next Norman Whiteside. He ended up at Everton at about the age of 27, having made his... Well, I think he came through at the age of 16. And I just think there's so many footballers who, they come through so young, and by the age of 24, 25, that's it for them. I just think they burn out. And regardless of what Wayne Rooney's been doing in his personal life, I do think you just play for so long, and you just get a bit jaded by it. You look at Robbie Fowler and Michael Owen, their career's 25, 26 years old, and that's it.
Torres?
Oh, well, yeah, possibly as well. Yeah.
It's a sad prospect, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it for part one, listeners. And coming up in part two, we'll be touching on some of the other big Champions League encounters awaiting us this midweek. A little bit of Championship news, so listen up, all you Liverpool fans. And some of your posts as well. Yes, listeners, part two, beginning with Chelsea... And then 0-0 at Aston Villa. Not a game that I think we need to devote a huge amount of time on. They're still top. Man City 2 points behind. Chelsea, though, this midweek, will be at the Luzhniki Stadium for the first time since that fateful May night in 2008 when John Terry, etc., etc., and so on.
Do we have to gloss over John Terry's penalty miss at the stadium? Or should we go into the turmoil he must face when he goes back and revisits those nightmares?
Do you not think England's brave John Terry is more than a man enough to put those shadows behind him, conquer that?
I think England's brave John Terry was going to carry that burden with him till his grave.
In the meantime, Spurs, big game for them in the Champions League because they're taking on Inter now. Did you see Spurs' game with Fulham? Did you? They were the first team to beat Fulham this season.
I saw highlights. There was a contentious goal and Mark Hughes was very unhappy at the end of it.
Yeah. Anyway, Spurs, now that they've become the first team to beat Fulham in the Premier League, are we going to... It's a big test of their Champions League credentials because I don't think anyone thinks that they're really going to do... Well, that's been the suggestion. They're not seen as European heavyweights. But against Inter at the San Siro?
I think Rafa Benitez will win that one. You're booing at the back there, but he's superb in terms of organising his team for European matches. That's his thing. I mean, maybe not in the league, although he's done okay. He's made a decent start at Inter.
Top of City at the moment.
That's decent, isn't it? Yeah.
No, but to be fair, with that squad, I mean, it's kind of par for the course.
Yeah, and if he organises that squad, then I can't see Spurs being able to do anything against them, so I think they'll comfortably win. I do think Spurs will qualify for the Champions League again this season.
Really?
On league form.
Who do you think's going to be in the top four?
I think it'll be Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United and Spurs.
Man City won't be in the top four?
I think Man City will miss out. I think these players they've got, a lot of them will start to fall out with each other in the second half of the season. They'll come apart.
We'll see. Very much early days, but
an Italian football expert, can you tell us what the result was and who scored for Spurs last time they played in the San Siro?
I suspect the last time Spurs was it against Milan in the European Super Cup?
No, it was in the UEFA Cup semi-final in 1971.
Who scored for Spurs?
Alan Mullery.
Is that so? Yeah.
There you go. All right.
I just said Mullery there in a way that makes me sound much more drunk than I actually am.
I think it was about spot on, actually, but... Kevin is at the Kevin McCarra is going to be at the San Siro for that game, so he will be giving us his view on it in Thursday's Back to Normal Football Weekly Extra. Good news for Spurs, although they will be missing, of course, Van der Vaart, which is a big miss for them at the moment.
But Inter are missing Esteban Cambiasso and Diego Milito.
They certainly will be, but they will have Samuel Eto'o, who's very much their goal scorer at the moment. A little
and
bit
in
of
the
controversy.
News today. He's in the news today.
He is in the news today.
Because Inter and Cagliari's game was stopped for the first time ever, I believe, in an Italian game because of the racial abuse being directed at Eto'o. And the ref stopped the game, got the PA announcer to play some Phil Collins. And then they and then they started the game again. And Eto'o scored the winner in... I think a 1-0 win.
It was a 1-0 win, yep, indeed so. Arsenal are facing Shakhtar Donetsk. Arsenal just beat Birmingham. Jack Wilshere, any irony? The irony being that for once it was Arsenal players going in heavily.
Yes. But he was just over-exuberant, and if you look at all young players around his age, I think Gerrard, Michael Owen, players like that have always got sent off very early on in the careers.
All right.
Just because, and the reason he got sent off is, if you look at it, his touch had been perfect throughout the match, and it was the first bad touch he had, and he went 5 yards away from him, and he was so angry with himself, he just threw himself in, tried to win the ball back, and got sent off. But he looks like the perfect replacement for Fabregas when he goes to Barcelona, which he will do.
Are you suggesting Jack Wilshere is not that kind of player?
I might be, buddy.
Aaron Ramsey is a more natural replacement for Fabregas until his leg was cropped as well. I think he's a fantastic player and probably the heir apparent in that role, I would say. But yeah, it's about time Arsenal did put the foot in.
Yeah.
Those are maximum points anyway in that group, Arsenal and Shakhtar Donetsk. Shakhtar Donetsk have beaten Braga, as indeed everybody has, and a 1-0 win over Partizan. Tumpty-tumpty-tumpty-tum, and Eduardo now plays there. Real Madrid take you on, Barry?
Milan.
That's correct, they are.
Milan, even.
Milan, yep.
How do you think it will go?
0-0 written all over it.
No, I don't think so, actually, Donny from Manchester. I think that recent history suggests that Real Madrid have every reason to be concerned, although they do seem to have finally clicked under Mourinho. They scored, I think I'm right in saying, 10 goals in their last two fixtures, with Cristiano Ronaldo quite literally on fire. But Milan have Alexander Pato, who's one of the most exciting Brazilian prospects around, and he scored two goals in each of the recent Brazilian internationals, scored twice for Milan yesterday in a home win against Chievo, which is seen as significant, because Chievo are the kind of team who should be able to cause Milan problems. Milan, a lot of talent up front, as we all know, Ibrahimovic, Seedorf, Ronaldinho, Robinho, and Pato. But they're not the best at tracking back and generally pitching in with the defensive work, so any team that can hit them on the break and it's a good counter-attacking team, like Chievo, should cause them problems. A 3-1 win, therefore, for the Rossoneri, a very auspicious one, ahead of this big clash at the Santiago Bernabeu.
I think if Sid was on the blower, which he isn't, he'd say, hang on a minute, caveat, then his dog would bark. Yeah. And a train would pass by in the background, but... carry on.
His loss. In other Serie A news, Aquilani scored.
Really?
A 4-0 win for Juventus against Lecce, a Juve described as furious and very beautiful. Palermo won 4-1 against Bologna with Javier Pastore, who's a player who I think is going to be snapped up by one of the big European teams. No, he will. Javier Pastore, Argentine boy. He's a very thin, weedy-looking fellow, but top.
So
top.
Blackpool will be in for him.
Yeah, he will. And, Fiorentina are last. How about that? Hey, Fiorentina last in Serie A. Astonishing stuff. Yeah. Anyway.
Did you notice the way no one gave a shit? They were.
I think you misread their reaction, Barry. Did you notice how that was the one thing to silence the crowd? Fiorentina last. Surely that means that Sinisa Mihalovic's reign on the Viola bench might be at an end. Well, yeah, it may. We shall see. Anyway. Barcelona are playing Valencia and...
They beat Valencia last night 2-1.
That's true.
Brilliant bullet header. The mother of all bullet headers from Carles Puyol.
All right.
And super goal from, I think, Xavi, who's now possibly, Iniesta. But Xavi is now out injured. Apparently he's got really bad Achilles injury, which they reckon could seriously affect his career.
Xavi?
Insofar as he's played so much, he's so knackered, and his Achilles is so knackered that they may have to put him on a course like Ledley King, basically. You can only play X amount of games.
Because he already missed one of the... the Scottish game's the one that mattered. but anyway, I was just being rude about Scottish football in a kind of tangential fashion, but Rangers, who just had a big 4-1 win over Motherwell, they're taking on Valencia. Did you see Manu's game with Valencia? Very disappointing defeat for Che at home.
Yeah, Valencia beat Rangers comfortably.
Will they,
sure.
though?
Yeah,
do you think that? Yeah, the Rangers have been off to a good start in Europe this year.
No, they've got off to a decent start, but I think Valencia are very unlucky against Manchester United, and they've got more quality than Rangers, from what I can see. So I'm pretty certain they'll win.
All right.
3 points.
A Ukrainian girl of my acquaintance told me that Rangers. Tanya was her name. Rangers have played Spanish opposition 5 times at home since 1985 and been beaten 5 times.
Tanya told you that, did she?
Yeah. She's very knowledgeable. She's not just a pretty face.
Anyway, that's it for part two, then. We made it, listeners, we made it. In part three, nothing except some questions and responses. Well, listeners at home, hope you enjoyed the 5 minutes of what has been the shortest pod of the season so far. And the exciting news now, as we join you here live from the Fly in the Loaf pub in Liverpool. It used to be a bakery. If only there was some clue in the name as to why they stopped. But we're now going to take, excitingly enough, questions from the floor. Uber producer Matt has a microphone, which he has placed in the hands of... could you stand up and identify yourself, please, and your question?
Hiya, this is Mark. This is for Greg and Andy. Obviously, I'm a Blue and I was made up today, but one of the things that struck me was just after we scored our second goal, I was watching Hodgson just down in front of me, and he was sort of stood in the corner of his technical area, like this, sorry, listeners, for about 6 or 7 minutes doing absolutely nothing. And to me, he looked completely and utterly out of his depth and lost almost. Who would you think should replace him if you indeed you agree he should go, as a few of my friends do?
Go on, you go.
Well, I personally think he's got maybe 2 or 3 more matches left in him. There's obviously this outcry from Liverpool fans that they'd like to see Dalglish take over from Hodgson, and I do think John Henry will be swayed by a lot of those opinions, because it would be a very popular appointment as Liverpool's manager, and I think Dalglish could come in and do a job in the temporary situation that Liverpool will be in, which could be much better than what Hodgson's doing at the moment. And he's not going to be able to buy anybody until January anyway. So that group of players, which is pretty mediocre, they're going to have to get the best out of. And I don't think Hodgson's able to do that at this moment. So probably Kenny Dalglish.
I'm curious to know, whatever about Hodgson being out of his depth or not, he's quite clearly a good man and a nice man. And I think it would be... No, I'm serious. I think it would humiliate him if he was to be sacked in the next two or three games. Would you not give him to Christmas? And then... And people are saying, get Dalglish in as perhaps a short term. But Dalglish hasn't managed in the Premier League for a long time and may possibly be out of his depth. I think if Liverpool sacked Hodgson, it would show a lack of class. And they're kind of renowned for being a good club, a classy club. And
not that in the last 3 years, though. Have you been on the moon?
Or down a mine in Chile. Yeah.
He inherited a very difficult situation, and whoever, as I said before, it's going to be a massive job. But he's not helped himself. I mean, two of the worst players in the Liverpool team today were Paul Konchesky and Joe Cole, and they've arrived while he was manager. He might not have been the orchestrator of the Joe Cole deal, but he went for Paul Konchesky as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's... I don't think he's got the excuse of passing the book and blaming it all on the previous regime like Tom Hicks did on Friday night. I mean, obviously, that squad is a poor squad, but when you are spending £5 million on Christian Poulsen, who cost more than Everton's two goal scorers today, I think, you know, that is a seriously bad mistake. Mm.
There has been some talk about Martin O'Neill as a potential replacement, and a round of applause there for Andy, yeah. It's worth pointing out as well that John W. Henry replaced, when he took over the Red Sox, their manager within the first 8 days of his tenure.
Hi, I'm Delia. Hey! Yeah, and I'm bored of listening about Liverpool. I want to talk about Man United. I think our problem lies in the midfield. If you think we had Everton's midfield, do you think it would solve our problems?
Fellaini and Arteta, I would take above most central midfield partnerships. I think Fellaini's
a
fantastic player. Yeah. I thought when Moyes said on Friday that he was out, I thought that and the momentum of the takeover would swing it back in Liverpool's favour. But yeah, I agree. If it was Fellaini and Arteta, no one else.
I remember last season I had to be the Webb's representative at the Guardian Sports meeting. And they ignored me, as they usually do, but I said that I thought Everton's midfield was among the best in the Premier League at the time, and they all just kind of ignored me and went away and did their own thing. But I do think Arteta and Cahill and Fellaini make a really good triumvirate in the middle. And compared to Cahill, Scholes, Fletcher, yeah, probably.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions not relating to Liverpool?
James, can we get the Italian interpretation of Roy Hodgson?
Of Roy Hodgson?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tangentially relating to Liverpool, but yeah, that's interesting. He is most famous in Italy for selling Roberto Carlos and leaving Inter with a problem at left back, which has gone on pretty much ever since. Obviously, Roberto Carlos would no longer be the answer, but for at least a decade, Hodgson was the man who had left that vacuum, who had sold the man with the biggest thighs in football, I think, actually, Roberto Carlos, which he curiously explained by the fact that his father had been a truck driver and therefore used the pedals a lot on long road trips. He genuinely felt that this was the reason that he had inherited enormous thighs. So, yeah, lovely chat, Roberto Carlos. He once scored a very good free kick. I don't know if anybody ever mentioned. Sorry, to answer your question, he's deeply loved by Moratti, and I think they're all really impressed that he was an Englishman who turned up and immediately spoke Italian, but they don't see him as a man who can win big things at a big club, much as probably they don't over here, largely because when he was at a big club, Inter, he stuffed it up in the UEFA Cup, a treat, losing against Schalke in the final and getting into a sideline bickering fight with Aaron Winter, which didn't really look very good. You know, he didn't look like a composed man, much as he didn't today. He looks nervous, he looks twitchy, he's not sending out the right messages, I feel, to his players.
Out any messages.
Got a text message from Scott Murray saying that with 3 minutes to go, he said, "For F's sake, lads, come on, there's 10 minutes to go."
Yeah, he went like that.
Sorted out.
Well, that was with 5 minutes to go, and I did wonder about that, but then the referee gave at least 4 minutes of time added on, so 9 minutes. And you would want to send a positive message, like, you might as well have a go, boys.
What's Ryan Babel done to Roy Hodgson as well?
I don't know.
What's Ryan Babel
done? No, fair enough. Fair enough. I take your point, but Maxi Rodriguez on the right and Joe Cole on the left, there's absolutely no pace in that Liverpool team. So, no, I just think Ryan Babel should be given, he should have been given at least more of a go than Roy Hodgson's done.
One more question.
Hi, it's Gary. What question for James? Just felt you were left out. James.
There's a reason for that, as you'll soon discover.
You are the real turn.
My, I'm blushing.
Well, you've got a half a decent career. No, James. But what I'd like to understand is, why were you ever offered a kind of job in the mainstream with Sky or BBC or ITV, or was just your lifestyle in Italy too good?
Perhaps that day will come when I will be Martin Keown and cheer up. But until that day, listeners, I have something different, something perhaps more real. I have you. And there's no complimentary car taking me down from Newcastle and then back up again every bloody week that can compare with something like that. So many, many thanks for coming all the way down to the Fly and the Loaf today. To be with me, Barry, Andy, Greg, and producer Ben, and everybody else who knows me. And many thanks to you as well at home. I know that this hasn't necessarily been quite the pod that we normally produce on a Monday, but your patience and understanding is very much appreciated. Everything will be back more or less to normal on Thursday with Football Weekly Extra. That's all for now. Have a super week, and we'll speak to you on Thursday.
Stop milking it.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.